Well, good morning, everyone. I have a few announcements. One is to Dale and Patty. That fits in perfectly. Redeeming love will be our praise. Wow. And I had a plethora of texts to go through, which I'm going to abandon here. But I may give them a few of them to you. If somebody wants to, if you read down through Psalms 33, that was my focus, the plan of salvation in Psalms 33, and God's saving love and boundless love. There's texts that go along with that that I can give somebody if they want them. But as you read through here, the text that was read this morning about nobody can save themselves, it's only God's love. So I had a story about that, but also I needed to announce for Marcia. She brought, on Barbara's request, more zucchini and cucumbers, so they're out in the back in a basket. And then I saw some had found the plums that Marcia had for we've got this little plums, look like a wild plum, and they're ripe, and there's a bunch of bags full of them back there that were just picked. So everybody is welcome to have them that wants them. I know she canned a bunch the other day. They're really good, and as my ain folk frae the Highlands of Scotia would say, they're no business. That means they're edible, but anyway. Anyway. So the story I had today was about William Lewis Manley and John Rogers, two young men from Ohio. And they decided to leave Ohio. They needed something to do. This was 1846 or 7 maybe. And so they headed for the promised land of Michigan, where Terry's folks are from. And their job they took up was to trap and collect animals for their pelts and furs and sell them and make lots of money. And if anybody has ever skinned elk or deer or anything, pretty soon you find out it's not a glorious job. And it's not a real fine-smelling job. It's a hard job. And they found that out as they worked in Michigan. It wasn't long working there, several years, and they decided, this is hard, but kept doing it. I think they worked in a coal mine for a while in Michigan, and then they heard there was gold in California. Gold in California. You just walk up the creeks and it jumps right in your hand almost. You can go get rich. Oh, that's great. So they got rid of everything they had. In the meantime, being out there in the woods, they had learned skills that were very important to being in the wilderness. How to make a fire, how to stay alive, what to eat, what not to eat, how to stay alive in cold, what to do with heat. They learned a whole bunch of skills. They just took it for granted that they learned them, and they headed west. They got to Rock Springs, another place Terry knows about, and Dana, and some of you might. Nothing there, desert. Nothing there. And they're trudging along, trying to get to California. Somebody between Rock Springs and Green River said, why, the miraculous thing is there's a river that goes through Green River. It's called the Green River, and it goes to California. It hits the Colorado River and comes right out in California. You just ride down that river, and pretty soon you're in California. Wow. Oh, they showed him a map in the ground. This guy squatted down. He drew him a map in the ground. Oh, let's do that. So he got a group of guys. They got some boats together, and they jumped in the Green River, and down they went. Well, it went good for a few days, and then they hit some stuff that wasn't very good. Boats turned over, lost their stuff. And they're like, man, this is rougher than we were thinking. And the farther they went, the rougher it got. Of course, you know the Colorado River isn't exactly peaceful when it gets to the Grand Canyon. Partway down, I think they were probably down by, they were into Utah, but I don't know how far down they got. It was across just about, oh, I don't remember the town down there, Grand Junction, somewhere down in that area. And they saw a group of Indians standing on the shore, so they pulled over, not knowing if they were friendly or not. Turned out they were friendly. That was good. This chief came over, and they all crowded around these white guys that they hadn't seen a whole lot of. They knew the Mormons, but they hadn't seen a lot of people, and so they came over and talked to them, and Manley and Rogers somehow were able to communicate with them and tell them where they were going. And the chief's like, "You're what?" In Indian, of course. He's like, "Uh-uh." He started telling them, "No, you're not going there. It won't make it." So they hiked out of there, convinced that that was a bad idea by their experience. Hiked over towards Salt Lake City, met a wagon train, headed for California. They were going to go on the old Spanish Trail, went down the old Spanish Trail, got partway down towards where Las Vegas is. Another exciting event happened. A man shows up with a map, shortcut to California. If your husband or wife has ever said, mostly husbands, "Let's take a shortcut." And the wife goes, "Nah." That's what was happening. "Nah, we're not going that way." But the men said, "Yeah, that's a shortcut. We got to get to the gold fields. We'll be rich." So this guy had a map. "Yeah, oh yeah, you cut off right here, right where Death Valley is, and you go west." Oh boy, they got a bunch of wagons to turn off. "We're going to get there for you guys." And the rest of the people headed on down through Las Vegas and the old Spanish Trail around behind Los Angeles. Well, they turned off, but it got harder and harder and harder. Pretty soon there was arguments. "We can't go this way. It's too tough. Besides, these women and kids are causing us problems. They're just in the way." There was a bunch of young men that wanted to get to the gold quick. "We can't help these people. They're stalling us, and it's hot out here." Of course, Death Valley is not cold. This was in November, December. So it was not as hot as it can be, but it's hot in the day. They kept going. Rogers made friends with the Arcane family and the Bennett family, and Rogers and Manley did. William Manley was the name. I call them by their last names. I don't think that's an army trait, but anyway, it was William Lewis Manley and John Rogers. Made friends with this family with the kids. And they made a deal. They loved to hike up the mountain and come back down and wander around and look where they were going to go and try to help figure out where things were. Left all their stuff with these two families who protected them the whole time, all their stuff that they were traveling on towards California. The further it went and the more that Manley was up on those mountains looking around, and Mr. Bennett had a eyeglass so that he could look out way ahead, and he'd come back with the idea, "They're not going to make it. We are not going to come out of this alive." And it occurred to him that he and Rogers could get out of that alive. "We can get out of this alive if we just leave right now." And they had a big council, the wagon train. "What are we going to do? We got to leave," these young guys said, and some of the older folks that didn't have kids. "We got to get out of here. We just can't keep these people. And if we have time, we'll come back and help them if we find help." And so some of them pulled out. And Rogers thought, and Manley thought, "We could make it." Then they thought, Manley's words were, "We thought we'd be committing murder if we left." And so they stayed. They said, "These guys took care of our stuff." And seven wagons stayed with this group and kept going. But it got harder and harder until they decided, "We can't make it." And they had a council. I'm going to speed this up so we don't stay too long. But decided that Manley and Rogers, you've heard the story, I think, took off. "And you'll have to find help because we're not going to get help." And the other people had left them. So they were left with oxen to eat. They had found a spring where they could stay and drink and camp. And they said, "Find stuff and help and come back." So Manley and Rogers took off, not knowing the road ahead. And as I was thinking of this story, I thought about Christ on the cross when they told him about coming off the cross. "You can't. You saved others. Why don't you save yourself?" And then I thought of Manley and Rogers going, you know what, we're not going to do this. We're going to hell. So they took off, and it was rough. Cut their feet on rocks and stones because they had these moccasins that were just cut up by the sharp rocks. Walked, run out of water. One night, they had walked 2 days with no water, and water they found was brackish and salty, couldn't drink it. He tried to stay near the mountains, and in part of this trip, he had found some of the guys that were going ahead, and they came to this great playa, and these guys says, we're going across that, and he said, you'll never make it. You got to stay by the mountain. Well, that's way too far. So these guys took off across the playa, and Rogers and Manley stayed by the mountains. There was snow way up high, but none of it was coming down. It was all soaking into the soil. So as they were going along, they were really thirsty. 2 days, no water. Strength was ebbing. Hot in the day. They decided one night, the moon came out, and they thought, let's walk at night. Cold, they had a half a blanket apiece because they couldn't carry much, too much weight. And freezing. So this half a blanket they shared between each other to get a full blanket, I guess. And as they're walking along in the dark with the moonlight, so it was a braubrich minute nicht. That means the moon was bright that night. They decided to split up. They'd found a wash, looked like water had been there recently, split up, started taking different routes, saying, okay, we're going to head west, southwest, but if somebody finds water, let the other one know. So they took off, kept walking. Finally, Manley heard a shot. Now, Rogers had a shotgun, a double barrel, I believe it was. Manley had a 5 or a 7 shot Colt rifle. So he's walking. Rogers was walking up this draw. It was dark canyon that night, and he came to a place where the condensation had frozen on the sand, thickness of a window pane. And man, he picked that up. He fired his rifle and he's putting it in his mouth. Manley came up, putting it in his mouth. They had this quart kettle that they had brought with them. They filled that with water, heated it. Now their training came in good because they knew how to start a fire without matches, they start a fire, they melt the water. They're provided for. They keep going. Run low on water again. They're wondering what we do. Came upon a rock, a shallow rock. And they had had no rain, had seen no rain. When they came to that rock, it was full of rainwater. They drank and were satisfied. They kept going. They got to California. They didn't know where they were. Came out of this canyon where there had beautiful water. They had eaten, but Manley had gone lame. So as he had gone lame, he couldn't hardly walk. And so he thought, man, we got to get down to Los Angeles. So he sat down. Now, they had been walking for 10 days is all. 10 days, but through the Mojave Desert and Death Valley. And they were really low on strength, and he was lame. They saw this dust cloud, people galloping, men galloping up on horses. They thought, oh, no, we're had. So they put their rifles across their laps, ready, ammo in the chambers, ready to do whatever they had to do, protect themselves. These men kind of get up, and they see that Manley and Rogers are nervous, so only one of them walks up. Ask them what they're doing. They said, well, we've got a wagon train that's lost. We need to help them. The guy says, well, we'll help you. That man arranged everything they needed to go, and that's shortening the story. They met a bunch of people, got the provisions they needed. The text said about horses can't save you. They got 3 horses and a blind mule, one-eyed mule. If he hadn't been lame, Manley said they would have walked clear to Los Angeles, would have lost a bunch of time. Turned around, headed back the same trail they had gone. Packed the horses up, all the provisions they could get. On the way they went, halfway back, one night, what they had to eat, a crow came down and landed on a tree. Wasn't a good idea for him. They shot the crow, shot a hawk, and ate a quail. That provisioned them. Kept going and got to this place. As they were going, the horses started getting depleted in their energy. The one-eyed mule kept right on going. He'd walk all over everywhere. They'd let him go. He was tame, didn't want to leave Manley and Rogers. Walk over, eat his brush, go way ahead, go on and around. horses kept going lower and lower and lower until they were clear done. They were done. So Manly and Roger says, we got to leave them. What they had to do is take the provisions off them and bury them there, which turned out to be a blessing. Horses couldn't save them. Kept going with the one-eyed mule, got to a place where this cliff was, and there was a little ledge you had to go up, go across this cliff. That one-eyed mule jumped up there, no shoes, no nothing, just jumped, danced around, went on up the cliff, happy as a lark. He's like, whoa. These guys followed, but it wasn't quite like the mule. And he had provisions on him for the people. As they come up to where they knew the wagon train was, there wasn't a sign of life. And the covers were off the wagons, gone. They said, uh-oh, the wagon train earlier, and on the way back, I'm shortening this story, they had found people laying dead that had left previously, that hadn't made it through the desert. They hadn't taken time to wait for the promise of help. We'll do it on our own. We'll get there. And now they see nobody. Earlier, some of the train, before the Manly had left, had stolen some squash from the Indians. So they thought the Indians have come and taken care of the problem. So they crept up slowly. Rogers decided to fire a shot out of it. He had two loads in his shotgun. Fired one, boom, nothing. And then suddenly a head pops up. Phew. I think it was Mr. Arcane. Jumped out of there, and he starts yelling, the boys are back, the boys are back, and everybody piles out from under there. There was only three wagons there that had gone further than what I believe they had left them. The rest, everybody had left. So it was the Arcane family, the Bennett family, had hope that these boys would help them. When they got there, they were all jubilant. They couldn't hardly talk. They were hugging them and crying. Mrs. Bennett came up and just knelt down before him, just crying, so thankful that they had come back, couldn't talk, but thankful. And then Manly said they would have carried us on their shoulders if they could, but they were weak. They were living under that wagon with the last of what they had in string. So they took them back camp. They learned about what happened to all the people that had left of the seven wagons. And told them, we had given up hope. Now it's 26 days they had been gone. 10 days down, 5 days to get provisions, 11 days back. And they said a week ago we'd given up hope and decided we're going to make it on our own. You guys are dead. And they'd taken the covers off the wagons and had made kind of a pack saddle idea. They had made sacks like panniers and breeching, and so they could put it on an ox. And so they were ready to leave, not knowing that they were going to leave, that these guys were going to come back. They were ready to leave. So they packed everything they had up in those bags that the oxen had. They had oxen still. I think there was four of them, or five. And the one-eyed mule that they, and of course they had that night soup and a wonderful supper for these people. And they packed these oxen up. The ladies got mounted on two oxen, different ones. I think it was Mrs. Arcane that was from the city. She had all the finest clothes there was. And she dressed in them, and she got on that oxen with the best dresses that you could imagine and ribbons, and she's headed off through the desert on this ox. The little kids, there's three kids, on one oxen, a baby and two other younger kids, stuffed in these bags. They couldn't hardly move. And they're taken off across the country to get to California. And the first day out, one of the oxen's sacks turned over. And that really upsets animals. And that ox decided he was done with it and started kicking, put his foot up through it, which made it worse, started bawling. Have you ever heard a cow bawl? Yeah. Oh, and went to kicking him and just went crazy trying to get that all off. Of course, everything else did. So Mrs. Bennett grabbed her kids out of the bag quick as she could, saved them. All of the oxen, she slid off quick off of her. She wasn't going to ride it out. Mrs. Arcane tried to stay it on. And here there was this picture of this lady in this fine, wonderful dress with ribbons flying and this ox jumping and bucking. It all quieted down, and The men had a good chuckle after they found everybody was safe. That fine clothes and all the things they were planning for in California soon disappeared. It wasn't a few days later that as they were walking along, their dresses were off to their knees, and even then you could see the stains where they were falling and hitting, hard going. Manley and Rogers would go ahead of them, trying to make a camp ready for them now. Mrs. Bennett couldn't hardly, both of them couldn't hardly walk. They would come in feeble. And so they would encourage them, you can make it, we're just started. You'll get stronger as you walk more. You haven't been walking, you've been under that wagon, encouraging and helping. One day Manley was a little bit discouraged, and at night, when they would stop at night, the people would come along the best they could. Rogers and Manley would be there, supper ready, bed ready, everything ready for them. They could just fall down. And he said sometimes the ladies wouldn't change, they'd just sleep and get up, go the next day, and they thought, we're not going to make it, and they would encourage them. And the Bennetts and Arcanes told them, what made us able to handle it was the fact we knew you know the way and your encouragement. That's the difference that it made for us. We knew that, even though we felt our and we have somebody that knows the way. So they encouraged them, they kept them going, and walking across that desert with hope, because these men had been there and had come back for them. There's a text in Hebrews, it's the text I want to read. These people were saved and got to California. I cut a whole bunch of story out, but in the end, and this is what Jesus has done for us on his dependable, unfathomable love. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 12. His unfailing love for us. So later on, the years went by. Manley gave up ideas of gold, got a farm. He heard Mrs. Bennett was passing away from consumption. They called it then. And so he went to see her. And he spent her last 4 days helping her, encouraging her, giving her comfort as she was dying. And she thanked him so profusely in just a short few words. She said, bless you, Manley, for what you did for saving us, keeping us alive all this time. I hope you live a long life. And that's what Jesus did for us. He came back when we were weak. He comes back when we're weak. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded, one, by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders, this sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Jesus has gone there. He's marked it out. He knows. He knows where the rocks are. He knows where the springs are. He knows where the good water is. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, salvation for us, salvation for the Bennetts and the Arcanes was Manley and Rogers' joy. And think of Jesus' joy. In Zechariah 9, if you look at Zechariah 9, I think it's 17, talks about his jewels, Jesus' jewels that will be us. The joy set before him, all the saved people. He endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. God loves us. So our closing song is hymn number 572. And think of these words in connection with this story and with what God has done for us.